We'll get into review from last week a little bit. I made this picture, and we'll get into it in the review. But I made this picture for because we talked about El Shaddai as God of the mountain. We talked about El Shaddai as the poorer fourth, and the strength, and how mountains often represent strength and stuff and things. And we talked about how he's the poorer fourth. He's provider and the Holy Spirit, and he provides his Holy Spirit. He provides our needs. And so we see that both the mountain and the water, or the Holy Spirit pouring forth from the mountain, is represented in this picture. And I tried to come up with pictures that embody what the name means. So we had Most High was above the clouds and things, and we have El Shaddai as a water pouring forth from a mountain. So I try to come up with something that talks about the name there that we're studying. So we talked about last week. We talked about the key biblical encounters that we see. First the name, this name for God in Genesis 17:1. You look in Genesis 17, verse 1. It says, "When Abram was," sorry, I should have told you to turn there first, but we looked at it last week. But I'll give you time to turn there and. As I read verse 1, we'll kind of look at a few more verses here. But in Genesis 17, verse 1, it says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God." So that right there is El Shaddai, Almighty God. Then he says, "Walk before me and be thou perfect." And we'll come back to that portion there, walk before me. We'll come back to it a little bit later. I'm not sure if it'll be tonight or next week, but we'll see what we get to. And it says in verse 2, "And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly." So we know that God had already made a promise with Abram, that he was going to make him the father of nations, and he was going to give him the land of Canaan. And so now, after all these different things, the birth of Ishmael was in this chapter before in Genesis 16. We see God comes back to Abram and said, you know, you've kind of taken matters into your own hands, so I'm going to remake this covenant with you and remind you of the covenant I made with you. And he comes to him as El Shaddai, Almighty God. And that's why I really do hold to that Almighty God is not only powerful, that he has the power to do and to accomplish his will, but also that he is the pourer forth, the provider, the one that has the resources to accomplish his will as well. We know he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns everything. So he's got not only the power, but also the resources. So we see that he is Almighty God, and we'll get into that in a little bit here. But he says, I'm going to accomplish the will the covenant that I gave you way back when. You took matters in your own hands. You had Ishmael. And I always think it's funny that it was Sarai's idea for him to have Ishmael with Hagar. But then when she finally had the son, Sarah's the one that got mad and kicked Hagar out. I never understood why Abram wasn't just like, it was your idea, Sarah. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. But, you know, women, no, I'm just kidding. So Ishmael was born, and God comes to him as El Shaddai, and he says, I'm going to complete this covenant through this name that I'm introducing to you, Almighty God. I have the power to do it, and it seemed through Ishmael, you've doubted my ability, my power, my provision. So I'm coming to you as a new name, Almighty God, to reveal something else about myself. And so he said, I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face. What a response to the presence of God. And God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And so we see he talks with Abram, the new covenant, or the covenant again, and then he even changes Sarai's name. He said, God said unto Abraham in verse 15, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Now this is, and then Abraham falls on his face again, falls upon his face. But then this time he's laughing. And he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? He almost, again, even though God comes to him as almighty, as almighty God, Abram is still laughing, thinking that it's not possible. And so we see, and we can't judge Abram. If we were in his shoes, we'd probably think that was kind of crazy and far-fetched as well. I'm not casting judgment, but God does reveal himself as El Shaddai, Almighty God. But we also see that God's mercy in this. God's mercy is that he didn't remove his blessing from Abraham and Sarah. He actually blessed Sarah, and he said that her covenant, that he will give a son of her. And I will bless thee, and she shall be a mother of nations. So we see God's mercy in this. We also see that when Abraham spoke with God, and we see it in Genesis 28, 23, as well as in 35:11, when Isaac is blessing Jacob, and then again Jacob calling upon El Shaddai. But then we also see it when God told Moses of his encounters, and when he said, I came unto, in Exodus 6, he said, I came unto, let's turn to Exodus chapter 6 real quick, because I'm drawing a blank on the verse. But he said, I came unto Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. So, if you remember, he came unto Moses as Jehovah, or Yahweh. So he said in verse number 3, and it says, and I appeared unto Abram, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. So we know that God had introduced himself in Genesis chapter 2 and 3 as Jehovah, but that was not a name necessarily revealed to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew him as he said, my Lord, Jehovah, but Yahweh is kind of a little confusing. Jehovah is a English transliteration of Yahweh. But when you see Jehovah in all capitalized, that's Yahweh. That's God's proper name, the name that it was his original name. So we see that it's a little different. They knew him as Jehovah, but not Yahweh. I'm not too well versed on that. I'd have to do a little more studying, so I'm not going to touch on it too much. It gets a little confusing with Yahweh and Jehovah. But he says, I'm coming to you as a new name that they didn't know, but they knew me as God Almighty. And so we see that, and we see that it's the same. Jehovah is the same God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew, that Moses knew. He says, I'm the same God because I introduce myself as El Shaddai, but to you I'm coming as Yahweh. So what does El Shaddai mean? We talked about how Shaddai could come from the root word Shaddad, which means overpower or to strength. So God is the overcomer. Oftentimes you see Almighty God, it's mostly translated into mighty, the overpower or the God who overcomes. We know that he's overcome sin and death and the grave for us. He said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So we see that this is one of the meanings that we see. We see that showing God's sufficient power to accomplish his purpose and his will. And we talked about how this, you'll see this theme here as we talk. But we see also Shaddai could mean Shad. or Shad, or I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but this depicts God as a tender nurturer who provides for and comforts and sustains his children. That word Shad is the word for breast, and so it's the God who pours forth, the God who provides and nurtures. And that, I believe, you can look at through Psalm 23. You know, he leadeth beside the still waters. He maketh to lie down in green pastures. He provides for us. You see that all the way through the wilderness with the children of Israel. It describes the all-sufficiency of God, the giver of life, and the provider. So we see that in the sufficiency. Then we have Shaddai, which could be Shadu, which is an Akkadian word, and it means mountain. So God of the mountain. And we know that God resides in heaven. But he often met with men in the mountain. He met with Moses. He met at the Mount Transfiguration. He even sent fire down from heaven to the Mount of to Mount Carmel, and we even know that he ascended from a mountain back into heaven. So, God of the mountain is a popular translation as well, and that was where the Ten Commandments came forth. So, it represents that his words are sufficient. That's what we have for review. I'll try and hasten through some of this, but what I've come to the conclusion is, rather than arguing for or against one etymology origin over another, I conclude that all of the different interpretations brought together show forth the understanding that El Shaddai means the all-sufficient one. That's what I see in all the different accounts of when this name is brought up. It's the what I see exemplified is that he's not only his power is sufficient, his provision and nurturing is sufficient, his words are sufficient. He's just the all sufficient one in El Shaddai. El Shaddai is like the name Yahweh, in that God's preeminence is revealed through it. Some interpret Shaddai as sufficient, God is the all-sufficient one. The ancient rabbis referred to him as the all-sufficient one, and here's why. The word "dai" in Hebrew means sufficient or enough. The most popular use of the word is found in the annual Passover song about God's deliverance of Israel from the bondage in Egypt, and that's a song titled "Dayanu." The song is a response hymn where the great acts of God are recounted one by one that he did for them, not only in Egypt, but in the wilderness, followed by a chorus of "Dayanu," which literally means "sufficient for us." If you sing it in English, you would say it would have been enough. It's similar to the songs we sing of our salvation from the world and from sin. We sing that, you know, if there's anything that we could thank God for, our salvation would be enough. God doesn't have to do anything else for us. God doesn't have to give us anything else. Salvation is enough to praise him for. And that's what that song represents there. In Hebrew, an SH prefix on a word means that which or who. So putting all the parts together, El Shaddai, you would get the meaning God who is enough, or God who suffices. So that's why another reason I hold to that he's the all-sufficient God. Any interpretation, I would agree with all of them, because the Almighty God who is enough. And he poureth out his blessings and judgment upon his children, and he poureth out his spirit upon us. I think that he's all of it. He's more than sufficient to meet any need. He is power, and he is provision. The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. He's enough. He's sufficient. In great compassion, he sustains, he nourishes, and he protects us. He takes our weakness and gives us strength. He's the Almighty One. He takes my inadequate resources and in his sufficiency uses them for his great and powerful purposes. That's what God does for us. Almighty God only conveys his strength, whereas El Shaddai would imply something far more, that he is all sufficient. He's not only almighty, but he is all holy. He is all loving. He is all merciful. He is all compassionate. He's everything. He's sufficient. God later clarified his nature in simply calling himself to Moses, the I am. I'm everywhere at the same time. I am all sufficient. I'm all powerful, all knowing. He just says, I am. Whatever you need, I am. I'm sufficient. If God introduced himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph as the God who suffices, he was saying that he would provide all that they needed and was all that they needed. They talk about, there's a song that says, I think it's based off an old preacher's quote, but he said, when you come to the place where he's all you have, you'll find he's all you need. And that's where a lot of preachers found themselves in the Bible. I think of Elijah when he was drinking of the brook and being fed by the ravens. He knew that God was all he needed. The children in the wilderness, when God provided the manna, and yes, they murmured and complained, but there were times when they knew that God was all they needed. He was sufficient. He's everything that we could ever want or need. Again, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I was just talking to someone earlier this week, and they said, you know, when I first read that verse, when I was first saved, I was a little confused. The Lord is my shepherd, and I thought, I shall not want him, and I was a little confused, and he said, I had to learn that it's that he provides everything we need, and so we have need or want of nothing else but him. He is the all-sufficient God. So, why did God appear as El Shaddai to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Why did he tell Moses, you know, I appeared to them as Almighty God or God Almighty? The short answer is that it was enough for them. They just needed to know that God was going to provide. Abram just needed reassurance. Although he still laughed, he just needed reassurance that Almighty God can make it happen. Almighty God is the one that's going to make me a father of nations, because he has the resources, he has the power to do so. He's Almighty God. When Moses came later and the people needed delivering, then God made himself fully known as Yahweh, the God who saves. They knew him as the one that was going to bring salvation to Israel from Egypt. And so God shows himself, this is Yahweh, this is the God who saves. Jehovah means the Lord saves, the Lord of salvation. So that's why it's derived from Yahweh. But Yahweh is the God who saves. They needed a deliverer at that time. They needed someone that was going to save them from the bonds of Egypt. And so that's why God reveals himself. There's something I've been hearing a lot lately that I've never heard before, even in Bible college. And it's the, I don't know if any of you have heard this before, but it's the law of first mention. And they say, go back to the first time that it was mentioned in scriptures, and look at the surrounding circumstances that these people were in, and a lot of times that reveals more about why it was mentioned. And I think that's very true with the names of God. As we go and we look at what those people were going through, and God revealed a new name to show them exactly what they needed at that time. And I've never heard that concept before, but I might start practicing it, looking at it, and just seeing, when was the first time that this was mentioned in Scripture, and what was the significance for it? Because I do think that God, even today, reveals himself in certain ways to people exactly when they need it. And that's what we see in a lot of the names of God when they were first mentioned and first brought to light. So we see they needed a deliverer, they needed salvation, and God introduces himself as Yahweh, the God who saves. So God reveals a part of himself at just the right time that we need it. And he is indeed El Shaddai, mighty to speak and to act and to provide, but also Yahweh, the God who saves. It's the same God. The God that saves, the God that's mighty to save, the God that's spoke into existence our entire world. His words were sufficient. His power is sufficient, and his provision is sufficient. But for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, El Shaddai was enough. He was sufficient. I think we're gonna end there tonight. We're gonna give you a glimpse into what we're gonna talk about next week with our relationship with him. Who we are is pretty simple, but I'm gonna go into a little more detail, and we're gonna look at some different areas of how we can rely on the name El Shaddai. But who we are is pretty simple. He is God, and we are not. Seems like a does statement, but oftentimes we kind of put things into our own hand, like Abraham did, and with Ishmael, and oftentimes we try to, or like the mariners in the story of Jonah, we try to row. Nevertheless, we rowed harder to get to shore. We try to put things in our own power, in our own ability, in our own, I'm gonna make all these financial plans, and I'm gonna do a 10-year plan financially, and in reality, we need to rely on God because he is enough. And oftentimes, we put ourselves in the position of God, not even realizing it, but we fail to trust his plan and his provision. Next week, we'll get into looking at a little bit of what we can take away from knowing the name El Shaddai.